This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to Love Sport Radio. It is 7:02 p.m. and it's time for the Chelsea Fan Show. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast. And I tell you what, it's a lovely surprise to begin the show, because I thought I was here with Stamford Chidge and Clayton Bierman, but incredibly, the last minute man has popped up.
I'm quite willing to go if you
No!
Jonathan Kidd has arrived in the studio. What a time to be alive it is.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Lovely to be here, as always, Matt. You okay?
I'm very well. Actually just improved my biceps by picking up Stamford Chidge's mobile phone.
By picking up Stamford Chidge. Pick up his wallet and it'll go all flopping.
Just his wallet, yeah?
Oh, crikey. I'm just going to leave. That is a mic drop moment.
What a start to the show.
We should explain, Matt, because the schedule tonight, as some of the people that were listening to the Fancast on Monday, they will probably remember, it was that, as I said, it was going to be me and Clayton and Kerry Dixon, right? Not Jonathan Kidd. And Kerry couldn't make it. He's coming later, I think, in November. But Jonathan is a man after my own heart, and he clearly can't read a schedule. So he turned up anyway, for which we are delighted.
Well, because all four of us have been standing
at the
back.
We'd have been a man down.
If Kerry had been here as well, I'd have called in the corner,
chanting his name.
I just want to know, is this the first time, Jonathan, you've ever been a sub for Kerry Dixon?
That is completely the first time. It's such an honour.
There you go.
Wowzers.
Wow.
Do you know what? It's funny, because had Kerry Dixon been here this evening, I would have brought something up that I'm actually going to bring up anyway, and we're going to do it very, very quickly.
Yes.
But today is a big day, gents. Very big day.
You getting married?
No. It's 33 years since West Ham scored 5 goals against Chelsea in the top flight at home for the first and only time.
86.
I just happened to stumble across. You know, sometimes you get into a YouTube rabbit hole.
I used to like you, Matt.
I can't recall.
I've erased that from my memory,
right?
Deliberately.
Really?
Somehow.
So it was 5-3. And there was a moment
we scored 3 goals
when Kevin McAllister handled a Kevin Keane header on the line.
Right.
And Ray Stewart smashed home a pen. It was the second pen of the afternoon. Okay. But Kerry Dixon scored in that game. And it just came to me.
I don't remember that. At all.
Well, I'm afraid I do.
Tony Cotty, I think, bagged a brace.
It wasn't that awful, the awful Easter. No, they beat us
4-0 then. It was September.
No, that was 4-0 at home and on the Saturday.
6-0 against QPR, wasn't it?
6-0 on the Monday.
Cost us the top ten.
But we got our revenge, didn't we?
Title.
We did.
We got our revenge because we cost them the title by winning 2-1 at their place. With Pat Nevin scoring a header.
Indeed.
And Kerry scoring.
There you go.
A little bit of trivia. Bit of nostalgia. So we can have a look at it a bit later when we're in the ads.
Disasters you'd like to bring up?
No, it's not a disaster, is it? It's the fact that they've never done it
since. You know why he's done this, don't you? I should interject here that on my wonderfully produced notes that have won awards, actually, for the kind of the equivalent of the Notes Oscars.
In your own bedroom.
In my own mind.
Yes.
I printed out the table, the Premier League table, and I thought, well, I'll go down as far as I can fit it on the page. So I went down as far as 12th, which is where Man United are.
How lovely.
There we go.
Incredible.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to them being lower.
I know. They wouldn't fit on the page then.
No, they wouldn't. That's true.
Well, this is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Of course, England coming up. We're going to get on to that team right now, because the team news is in Jordan Pickford, Kieran Trippier, Danny Rose, Declan Rice, Michael Keane, Harry Maguire, Raheem Sterling, Jordan Henderson, Harry Kane, Jadon Sancho, and number 11, Mr. Mason Mount.
Ole, 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 ole. Crawley. Mason Mount. Mason Mount, Mount, Mount.
Right, there we go. His first start for his country replacing Ross Barkley, as it goes. That game is coming up. We will be doing live updates
as and when.
What about
Madison? Do you think if Madison had been not ill, Madison would have started?
I think it would have been a very tough call, Chich, to be honest. I think the way that Mason Mount has started this season has exceeded expectation. Another goal, of course, last weekend as well against Southampton. Indeed. I think the pair of them are pretty much on a par, would you say?
I'll be really honest with you. I thought Madison's display against Chelsea
was fantastic
when Leicester played us. I mean, he turned the entire game round. I mean, I thought that Rodgers did very well and shifted it tactically, but I was really impressed with Madison, and I've been impressed with him for about a year now.
And he's quite dirty as well.
Well, he
puts it about.
I've got no problem with that.
No, I haven't either. No,
we need more of that.
In fact, why Ampadu should be recalled. He's not. Yeah. He's staying on the bench at Leipzig. What's he there for?
That's coming up.
I know. I thought I'd give a little teaser. I hadn't looked at the script, of course.
That's because I didn't email it to you, because you're not on tonight.
I'm not on tonight. I'm not actually here.
That's right.
Okay.
when was the last time two Chelsea youth players started for England? I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't think that's ever happened. Well, yes, John Terry's a Chelsea youth player. Who before that, Ray Wilkins was a Chelsea youth player.
May I come up with the answer?
Yes,
you may.
Barry Bridges and Terry Venables.
Oh, ooh,
very good.
Is that the actual answer, kiddo?
I don't know. I've just made it up. But I think the chances are, considering they won the Youth Cup. They weren't Youth Cup winners.
No, I didn't say Youth Cup.
Yeah, could have Osgood and...
Hollins?
Hollins.
Because, of course,
I'm talking
about Declan Rice and Mason Mount.
Yeah, but I'm thinking more specifically about players that played in the Youth Cup, the two Youth Cup
successes. That's a bit esoteric, to
Hollins.
Be fair.
Well, forgive me for coming up with esoteria.
Well, does anybody know, if you know, the last time two Chelsea youth players played for the England senior team?
Seriously,
if somebody has the answer to that and it's right and I can validate it, I will give them a Kerry Dixon mini banner as a prize.
Wow, there you go.
Okay, right. I haven't got one of them.
Do you want a Kerry Dixon mini banner? Get in touch.
As
0208.
Context is everything, as always, but there is a very big banner that hangs at the corner of the Matthew Harding upper with one Kerry Dixon on it, which is our tribute to Kerry. I have little mini ones. Okay.
And it's to the right if you're looking down the pitch from the Matthew Harding.
No, if you're looking at the Matthew Harding end, it's on the left corner.
Yes, and it's on the right if you're looking down the pitch.
Can I just quickly touch on something?
Yes.
With the Kerry Dixon banner and the fact that you are now, he's a friend of this show. He's a friend of yours in particular. He gets on with everybody.
Yeah. He's a lovely guy.
The fact that you idolized him as a player in a sense, and
I
you
pinch
have
myself,
banner.
Matt.
Is it weird?
Mate, I pinch myself.
Really?
I pinch myself. I mean, I used to, because I got to know Kerry before I did we used to do a specific podcast with Kerry, which for various reasons we haven't been able to do this season, but I would like phone him up on the Thursday that we'd do it, and he'd say, Chidge, is it all right? You know, is it okay? Are you sure you're okay? I said, Kerry, I wake up in the morning and I say, I'm going to speak to Kerry Dixon for half an hour. I said, how do you think I feel? I said, I just, it's nuts. How did this happen? You know, I mean, I pinch myself.
Does he find that strange, though, in terms of his reaction?
He thinks I'm an idiot.
Problem is I sit with him thinking, am I going to offend him in some way? He is the great Kerry Dixon. And so I try not ask a question that is kind of fan-like or pathetic, like, you know, can I touch your leg or something like that? I don't want to do any of that, you know. You know what I mean?
Because Jonathan, the last time you did that, you got arrested, mate.
That's true.
Leave it alone.
That's true. But he, you know, it's that kind of, it's the kind of idolising thing. It's shifting from being a kid with somebody who you thought was completely out of your league to there he is, and you then don't want to. So it's difficult to be mating. Well, you try and be as normal as you can, but somehow he's
it's weird.
It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I know. I'd sort of going off piece slightly. I met Bobby Tambling with Rick Glanville, and we were going to Rick's book signing.
Yeah,
and sort of I met Rick, and he said, "Oh, Bobby's going to come and with the signing." And we had this 20-minute walk from the ground to where the book signing was, and I'm talking to Bobby Tambling, and I'm saying into my head, I'm talking to Bobby Tambling. You know, and he's a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're having a normal conversation. We're talking about strikers and what have you. And I'm just thinking, this is completely bizarre.
But the interesting thing is that I mean, in my experience of well, I mean, I've got to know Kerry really well, as you know, and I would seriously, you know, see myself lucky enough as to call him a friend. But I think if you treat them like a normal human being, it gets reciprocated. And I mean, I think it's the interesting point is that particularly with these, the older generation of players, they are much closer to us. They are like us, actually, a lot of these guys. They support Chelsea. The bond is so clear and obvious. If you're not an idiot, you know, I was joking a minute ago, but if you're not an idiot and go, oh, poor Kerry Dixon, you know.
Indeed.
If you treat them with respect, but treat them like you would treat anybody else, that's reciprocated. And actually, you know, when he's been on the show with us, Jonathan, he's been like that.
It's worked really well. And, you know we've chatted normally and we've all got, yeah, sorry, I was leaning back in like despair at thinking what questions I'd asked him that were fawning.
But no, I mean, you know, they're human beings. They're normal guys. Treat them with a bit of love and respect it back, you know. But yeah, I mean, I do pinch myself, man, really. Because, I mean, you know, unlike Bobby Tambling, who I have met, I mean, I was too young to watch Bobby Tambling play, but Kerry I did watch play, and he was my idol in the 80s. And it's just like, how did this happen?
The great thing about those relationships as well is that what ends up happening is that you remember so much about their career.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll recount their career to them, and you'll say, oh, do you remember that when you did? They won't have a clue.
No, no.
They won't remember it at all.
Kerry does.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He absolutely. He remembers every goal. I love him for that. He remembers every goal, mate.
That's brilliant. Well, that's what you kind of want as a fan, don't you?
Definitely.
You want them to remember it like you remember.
Paul Canaville, the joy...
He's coming on next Friday, by the way.
Oh, fantastic. Yep. The joy that he has recounting scoring the goals is just quite magnificent.
It's
when
the
you're
same
with him.
Joy in a sense that we have. I mean, I know it's different
actually, if you've seen the goal, there's a goal he scored against Fulham. Yeah. I was just there and he said, yeah, and the ball came and I just and it went in the goal. And I was just thinking, I felt exactly the same thing as a fan.
It's
you know?
The same but different. I mean, they obviously have the talent to be on the pitch and do it.
And unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, but they kind of get our excitement in the way that they were excited. Yeah. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, but you know.
I mean, I think it's interesting actually just to kind of weave it back into the modern day. And I think this is really why. You know, we are so... I mean, we are all over 50 in this room, apart from you, Matt. And yet we three have been as excited as 14-year-old schoolboys this season, seeing these youngsters come into the side. And I think one of the reasons for that is there is a bond with these players like there was with the players that we've just been talking about, because they grew up at Chelsea. They've been at Chelsea since they were eight. They get it. They get the culture of the club. So there's that immediate bond. That's why so many people like to see young players come through, because they feel that they're closer to them.
Yep, completely agree. And as you say that, there are pictures now on ITV with Mason Mount and Declan Rice looking back at those days very early on. Of course, Mason Mount has come through. Declan Rice now doing very well at West Ham. We were going to open the show with Chelsea's youth being the backbone of England, but we're going to get onto that next on the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport, the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast, Stamford Chidge, Clayton Bierman and Jonathan Kidd.
Kiddle.
England are, of course, in Prague today to play Czech Republic. We're going to give you updates on that game as it happens. Mason Mount making his first start for his country, replacing Ross Barkley, no less. And gents, this chat about Chelsea being the backbone of England in years to come is quite feasible. This could be the case.
Definitely.
Completely. I mean, it's no exaggeration. They're talking about Man United in 92, the team, the great team. And potentially, if they all fulfil their potential, they could be, because Reece James, Tomori, Mount, Abraham, it's a spine.
Cheek, if he gets... And he's actually, I could just say, he's much more injured than... Everybody seems to be understanding. They keep saying he's back to fitness and they'll be on the bench soon. No, he.
They always said mid-November.
No, it's further. There was an article in The Athletic, which I've subscribed to, saying that he's only just jogging now and not moving in any strange. He's not twisting and turning because it's been such a difficult injury.
He absolutely ruptured the Achilles.
In a way that Odoi clearly
didn't.
He did.
Yeah, so we forgot about Odoi as well. Because he could figure as well.
I leapt in by saying cheek, but yes, Odoi as well, yeah.
So, I mean, the bottom line is there is half a dozen players who, if they fulfil the potential, could be playing for England for years
to come. Yeah, but if we're talking about 4 or 5 years, how many more others are going to come through?
Well, that's another question. Yeah. That's another question for another time, because whether you have to... say, are the people coming through now as good as the ones that are coming
playing
through?
They're all playing under 19s, aren't they? They're all playing England under 19s and under 17s.
Well, I mean, and I think that's the key point.
Yeah.
You know, number one,
it's the continuity.
You know, Chelsea as a football club have dominated youth football both domestically and in European football for the last kind of 6-7 years, maybe a bit longer. There were 5 Chelsea youth players in the England under 17 World Cup winning squad. You know, these kids have been winning tournaments for England, you know. So it seems, I think you also have to understand there's a bit of serendipity here. Number one, you've got Gareth Southgate, who in a sense has been leading the way, saying, you know what, I'm going to bring youngsters into this England side.
But he worked with them.
Well, he also worked with them, but he's been bringing them in. And at the same time, you've suddenly got the stars aligning so that Chelsea have got a manager in a situation where they're having to bring these youngsters in. So it's just kind of serendipity that it's all happening at the same time. But yeah, I think because you've seen this happening at youth level, I can certainly see a time when you've got 5 or 6 Chelsea players playing in the full England side.
Particularly when there's a dearth of England representatives in the Premier League.
Well, indeed. And I think that also is the stars aligning, isn't it?
But do you not think that's going to change?
Because, no. Well, because of Brexit, you mean?
Well, no, as you may joke, but that
possibly,
could happen.
Possibly,
but no, I'm just thinking about, if you look at the Premier League, as well as us, there does seem to be more of a trend to play young players.
Yeah.
And it might be financial.
Yeah, I'm going to say, absolutely.
I mean, apart from, obviously, Phil Foden,
yeah, poor man,
who's unsellable and worth £500 million, but can't actually get in the team.
Yeah, but you think about that. I mean, I think, you know, like we used to get a really hard time for not bringing any of the youth in.
And quite rightly so.
Well, yes and no. But, I mean, if you're Phil Foden, you're playing with some of the best players in the world and you've got one of the best managers in the world, you know David Silva is going to leave at the end of this season. You know, what's 6 months in your career at his age? I mean, he's what, 19?
19.
What's 6 months at his age?
I completely agree, but I guarantee you if David Silva retires, he will bring, Pep will buy somebody else.
Well, henceforth, I want to be known as David Chidji, okay?
You're
surely David Chidji.
David Chidji.
It's hard as well in terms of Foden because he scored in midweek against Dinamo Zagreb and then they play Wolves, crying out really for that type of player, and he doesn't even get off the pitch. So, I mean, it's very difficult. That was, of course, a Manchester City problem, but going back to your point about those players, I mean, it's a lovely, lovely situation we've suddenly found ourselves in.
Matt, I remember when I got excited that Graham Lasso got a cap or Tony DiRigo got a cap. Kerry,
only left-backs.
Kerry got what, 8 caps, scored 4 goals. I mean, poor old Kerry, we've talked to him about this at length, actually. I mean, he was a striker at a time when you had Gary Lineker, Peter Beardsley, Mark Catley, Tony Woodcock. I mean, you name it. They were like, we had so many good number nines in those days, and he never got sniff. And this was a guy that was scoring 30 goals in Division 1, Premier League. You know, so different times. But, I mean, I was always hugely excited that a Chelsea player got a... And so few did. That's the point. So few did.
So
to have 5, possibly, playing for it, I mean, it's just like nuts.
Well,
insane.
It is, but you've got to remember that a couple of years ago, we had Lampard, we had...
we had Lampard,
Terry
Cole.
And Cole, and I'm sure there was somebody
Michael
else.
Ballack? No.
You had the 2 Coles, really.
Joe Cole
as well. So it hasn't been that long ago, but you're right. Those of us of a certain age
will
remember that during the 70s and the 80s, I mean, we had...
Ray Wilkins.
My hero of all time was crucified for one of his very rare England appearances, Peter Benetti. But apart from that, we had Alan Hudson, who liked Tony Carey.
Revy hated
him. He got
him.
That playing for Stoke.
Yeah.
Peter Osgood got a couple of caps
Revy
playing
hated
for Ramsey.
Too.
Ramsey hated Ozzy.
Well, no,
there was that whole clump of players. There was Tony Curry, there was Rodney Marsh, there was Alan Hudson,
Frank Worthington,
who were
Mavericks.
So brilliant and got about 3.5 caps between them.
Mental.
But they got them all under. There was that brief period where for 7 matches,
Joe Mercer,
yeah. And he brought in a completely fabulous team who blew everybody away. They were wonderful.
It would have been like
and
watching
yet,
Brazil. I mean, it really would.
Revy was appointed.
Yeah, awful
and that was
man.
The end of that.
Awful yeah. man. Yeah. I remember hearing a fantastic programme on a radio station that we shouldn't mention, but actually it was an interview of Malcolm McDonald, who revealed what it was like playing for England when Don Revy was manager, and he hated Malcolm McDonald. And Malcolm McDonald was the Sergio Aguero stroke Tammy Abraham of his day, i.e. he was the top scorer in Division One. And the press were clamouring for him to get picked for England. And Revy kind of felt he had to pick him because the press were making such a noise about
it. A hoo-ha.
And Revy, after the match, ignored him. He shook the hand of every England player and he completely blanked Malcolm McDonald. He said, "I didn't want to pick you. I don't like you. I don't rate you. And I've only picked you because the press have made a fuss. But I'm not going to pick you again unless you score." And he scored.
The Cyprus, wasn't
no,
it?
No, that was, no. That was the first game afterwards. The next game, Alan Ball and the other England players kind of got wind of what was going on and were appalled by it and said, "Right, we're going to try and get you the record." Okay, the record goal scorer, you know, was 6 goals, I think. And they said, "Well, whatever we do, we have to lay the ball on for Malcolm McDonald." And they did that, and he scored 5 against Cyprus when we beat them 5-0. Anyway, Revy did the same thing. He goes around the dressing room afterwards. He shook every player by the hand. He completely blanked Malcolm McDonald. Unbelievable. Awful manager. Awful man. Managed Dirty Leeds, of course, who are coming on next.
They are coming on.
Ask them about it.
I will. I will definitely ask them about it. Just to bring it back to...
Sorry, a trip down memory lane.
We love a trip down memory lane. And I suppose the...
Tales of the Unexpected.
Like Wayne's World. Or Wayne's World. Also.
Yeah, indeed. Yes,
we're not
absolutely
worthy!
Yeah. But I think it was also supposed to be... Wasn't that supposed to be... wasn't X-Files. It was...
Twilight Zone.
That's what you were doing, which I think is more do-dee-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-do
digress, yeah. Matt.
We yeah, do digress.
Bring us back to reality.
Can I just make a little point here, which is talking about purchasing players, is that, put my cans on Twitter, everybody is going on about how Neymar is coming, how there's, I know, but they're going for all these, and a whole list, somebody's put a list of 10 people that Chelsea will be buying, where there are a hole in the transfer window that we get access to. And they haven't thought about the impact that that would have on the philosophy and policy that the club appear to be implementing at the moment. Why would you want to buy anybody who would disrupt
because
what they're creating?
Because you think football is played in a computer as FIFA 20.
Entirely.
And you are probably very deeply on the spectrum.
Indeed.
There's allegedly.
But unfortunately, large numbers of people pursue that. Yeah. and go for it. And it becomes anything that you put speculatively up there by the 14th tweet has become the truth. And people are then slagging the club off for
daring we've proved that the club don't listen to them.
No, of course the club don't listen. I know, but just as a...
That's why cigarette smoker is no longer the manager.
As a fan, one just despairs of the
don't
fact
don't believe
that,
what you read on Twitter.
No, I don't, but it does create an environment.
Put the bunny down.
I meet people then who say, so I hear you're buying Neymar, you know, and you go, well, no.
Indeed, and those players that it would impact as well, Tammy Abraham is
completely.
One, of course, and Mason Mount. And I think what I was going to get to is that I suppose the tripod, if you will, of Tomori, Mount and Abraham...
That was also Claude Makélélé.
Being those the three...
Maybe I shouldn't say that on
being those
radio.
Three that have...
why is that, Chidge?
Because he ran so fast, it was like he had three legs.
Oh, OK, good.
Very
Let
good,
Matt
Chidge.
Finish, Chidge.
But my point being... To finish this note off, is that they're all very likeable individuals. And I think that really shines through. And intelligent blokes as well. Yeah. There's Tomori is studying for a business management degree. Yeah, I believe that he's got other interests that he's already thinking about. That says a lot about someone. Mason Mount, we've seen in interviews, is lovely.
Yeah.
And Tammy Abraham also.
But also, that's the same with the whole PR thing with Lampard himself, who is absolutely brilliant.
Mm.
And I would think if Lineker wasn't doing Match of the Day, the BBC would have tried to have snatched him because he's snatched him to do the job because he is so comfortable on
they
camera.
Could do the breakfast, him and Christine, they could do the breakfast show, couldn't they?
Yeah, well, there'll be offers
prime
for that
for it.
In some way if they become more and more successful because he is eloquent, fluent, good
looking.
He's got
an A-level in Latin,
and,
mate.
I thought it was a GCSE myself. But,
I thought it was an A-level.
Okay.
Anyway,
Carpe
we
DM.
Digress. Indeed. Kerberos est.
pardon?
The
How
thing
dare
about
you?
The thing about the youngsters though, would you be quiet? The point you were making about the youngsters is really interesting actually because you know, academies get a really, bad press, I think, in the way that they treat the kids. But I think Chelsea's academy should be absolutely lauded. And they do. I know this for a fact. They spend a lot of time educating these kids and looking after them and bringing them up the right way. And remember that they are, in effect, loco parentis. So, you know, they have a duty of care about these kids.
And I have a first-hand tale of that because a family friend is... One of his son is at the academy and playing for one of the teams, And when he went there, he basically is a very, very bright guy, and the club accommodated him by giving him extra. They said if he's coming, he's got to be doing these O levels or S level, whatever they're called, GCSEs these days. And they accommodated him, and then basically he's gone on to his A levels, and they helped him with that as well. So that they are.
They take it seriously. Yeah, they do. I mean, they're, it's really good what they do. So it's no surprise that they're not only producing superb footballers, they're producing really, really well-rounded human beings.
Absolutely. Tammy Abraham being one of them. More on him and more of Chelsea coming up on Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast, Clayton Beerman, Stamford Chidge and Jonathan Kidd.
Kiddo.
England are, of course, playing this evening in Prague. If they beat the Czech Republic, they will qualify for Euro 2020. Mason Mount, of course, starting, and Tammy Abraham on the bench. Now, we desperately hope that there are no talking points other than football this evening. However, Tammy has come out and spoken about a potential walk-off should the atmosphere become unsavoury inside the stadium in Prague. And I think this speaks volumes, not just for Tammy, but for Harry Kane, who's spoken about it, and the team as a general, that regardless of the three-step rule that UEFA kind of have in place with this, if it gets unsavoury, they're going to agree that they're all just going to walk off the pitch. What do you make of this?
I think it's more pertinent to Bulgaria, really, isn't it, than the Czech Republic, because Bulgaria are already getting part of the stadium closed because of their fans dishing out racist abuse. So I think the bigger concern is Bulgaria. And I have to say, I heard, it was either their prime minister or their head of football there being really quite belligerent about England's stance. And I thought, you can get in the bin. I mean, it's outrageous. I think it's incredibly brave. And I think it's about time. I think it's about time somebody made a stand. I mean, the number of times we've seen, and I hate to say this because I've got a lot of Eastern European friends, but Eastern European countries supporters dishing out racist abuse and getting slapped on the wrist with a fine or a part stadium closure.
Fine.
It's pathetic. It's that idiot that used to play for Arsenal, Bentner, got a bigger fine for pulling his shorts down, bearing Paddy Power on his bum and his pants than a lot of these countries get for racist abuse.
But you
that shows you where it stands in UEFA's priorities.
But you look what's happened this season in Italy, and for several seasons, and they've said there's not a problem. It's appalling. I mean, my only fear that is if, for example, Bulgaria are losing 2-3-0
exactly
with an hour gone, they think, well, we'll get it abandoned because we'll basically, you know, they'll start abusing black players if, you know, but not to do anything other than.
I think they would have thought about that, though, don't you?
No, to get them to walk off.
Yeah.
Because if you're losing a game, there's not, you know, because who's to say?
I don't know what alternatives you could do. If they were winning easily, could you not then just substitute all the black players and make your own point that way?
No, but then they're winning. You don't.
Yeah, but if you're 3-0 up, you then
the real answer.
But you don't want to. If you're 3-0 up, you don't want to give them that.
I bring a moron.
I think. You know what? I think fair play to them. You know why? We were talking about this on Monday, and we were talking around the issue that, you know, our generation, for example, you know, put up with it, didn't say anything, sat there silently. You know, in the 70s and the 80s. You know, for all sorts of reasons, accepted it in a sense. But I think the younger generation aren't prepared to. And I think fair play to them. Why should they have to sit there and turn the other cheek? Go off, walk off. The reality is, what should happen is not a paltry fine or a part stadium ban. They should be booted out of the tournament there and then.
But it just doesn't happen. I agree.
Well, that's what should happen.
I know that's what should happen, but governing bodies have shown year after year they're weak and they just do not do it. I mean, so Bulgaria...
Well, they might do Bulgaria, if the England team walk off, because it'll cause a right old stink.
You know what will happen. England team will walk off and we'll get the points deducted.
Yeah,
it will cause such...
That's exactly what will happen.
You say that, but I'll tell you
I
what.
I did say that.
Okay, you can say it again.
I heard him.
And so did I. But, you know, it will cause such a stink if a team does that.
it will take radical action. You're right.
Shock them into
it will
doing
take
something.
Radical action like that, because that's, I've always said that's what players need to do. You think of examples. I remember Anfield. I think it was a League Cup tie between Liverpool and Oldham, and the Oldham players sort of started to go over and be like, "What are you doing?" But Gerrard like pulled him away and said, "Look, no, don't do it, don't do it." Yeah. But that's what it takes. Raheem Sterling confront these fans, and make, there are cameras beaming these images all over the world.
It's huge. Confirm
set. Everybody sees it. Terrible
exactly.
PR.
Exactly.
So, yes.
What normally happens, though, is that they deny that it actually happened. And so you need to have it. It needs to be a very audible, visual thing that's going on before they actually take them off. So there needs to be, because if Tammy says, I was abused, they will just say, well, where was the abuse? Unless the cameras have actually got it, and that has to be done
it's
in conjunction with it.
It's been incredibly audible recently. I mean, in Macedonia, for example.
Yeah, no, indeed, I know. Well, I almost feel they should be an English TV producer of some kind who says, yes, we're hearing it.
But there's an English feed, and to their credit, the English commentators have always mentioned it, actually, whenever it's happened, haven't they? In my experience, they have.
Yes, but I think the bottom line is you're quite right. It would be wonderful if, not wonderful in the sense of the real wonderful, but it would be excellent if an England team, if they are being racially abused, some of their players being racially abused, if they just thought, we're not doing this, we're coming off.
Yeah, I really, you know, I support, because, I would support
and you
that.
Have to, you know that these guys, the guys that aren't black in the squad, will...
Their heart will go out to them.
Absolutely. And they'll basically support them 100%.
And this is the interesting thing, if we're reading between the lines here, is that what we've got here is a buy-in from the entire side. And I think that speaks volumes. I mean, this whole issue has been bubbling away. You know, there's been quite a lot of issues at Chelsea, as you know, Matt, which has made me try and think. And I think that's what I mean when I say our generation, you know, it's not our fault, but we are... perhaps have been not as brave as the younger generation, and they are, from what I see from the youngsters, they're just not prepared to put up with this anymore. It's like, no, that's it, we're not having that, you know. And I think this is what we're seeing with that England team, you know, that you don't have that division between the black players playing and the white players playing. They're all in it together, and they're all saying, no, we're not having it. And I think that's brilliant.
Indeed they are, and the team are in the tunnel at the moment, about to walk out onto the pitch in Prague. Of course, England playing in the Czech Republic tonight. If they win, they qualify for Euro 2020. Mason Mount in the starting lineup, his first ever start for his country. And Tammy Abraham, who we've just spoken about, on the bench. That's his country form, his club form. If we bring it back to Chelsea, Tammy is top of the class.
Yeah, here's a question for you, Matt. Why in the Premier League top goal scorers table is Sergio Aguero on 8 goals?
They both got 8 goals.
Ahead of Tammy Abraham on 8 goals. When Abraham is alphabetically ahead of Aguero.
That is a very good point.
And that is in every table.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yes, in the newspaper, BBC Sports site.
So are they saying S is before T?
Yeah, I, do you know what? I don't have the answer. My presumption on just purely on that would be that it is. Yeah. But we go on surnames.
That's just done by age.
H and I is in the middle, that's for sure.
Maybe it's Kuhn. Kuhn comes before Tammy.
Oh,
God! I thought, I wonder what you're going to say.
But it doesn't say that. It says that on the.
I don't know, is the honest answer.
I also think that when you look at the strikers at the moment in terms of the number of goals in the Premier League as well, in 2019, Tammy Abraham is 20. That is top with Sergio Aguero, with James Collins, and also with Teemu Pukki. So no other player in all top four leagues has scored as many goals as Tammy Abraham in 2019. Wow.
Really? I didn't know that. Well, you mean including all the Villa goals?
Because he scored
a hatful for them. What, 20?
25, I think he scored.
Obviously the top goal scorer in the Championship, wasn't he, last year?
It's a real shame, not that it isn't fantastic that JK is here, but it is a real shame.
That I am here.
It's a real shame that Kerry's not here, because his Tammy's first goal against Southampton on Sunday was very reminiscent to Kerry's goal at White Hart Lane several years ago, where he lobbed the keeper and the defender.
True. Remember that.
It went in.
And it did go in, as did Tammy's.
Yeah, but as opposed to Tammy's being hooked off the line.
Yes, well, that's
well
because
over the line.
The Spurs defender was slower getting back.
He was, that's right.
But yeah, no, I think Tammy is the biggest shock. I mean, Tomori is obviously the greatest revelation because none of us knew.
Yeah,
how
but now hang
was.
On, I don't know about that. I mean, he was Derby's player of the year last year.
Yes, I know, but let me finish. At the beginning of the season, Tammy scored a couple of goals, and I'm thinking, yeah, it's okay. I'm still not sure. Now I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think he's been...
He's got the lot.
But don't you think it's Mason's elevation to the fact that he's playing tonight is just completely phenomenal?
Oh, it's extraordinary.
Derby last year and given an opportunity by Frank.
Absolutely.
And then here he is now turning up in a European qualifying match. I think it's just
phenomenal. It's kind of a reflection as well on England. If I don't want to look at this negatively, but you think Mason Mount and Tyrone Mings, for example, and Fikayo Tomori were all playing at this level individually in the Championship last season. It's taken a few games in the Premier League and bang, they're in the England setup.
And yet this is a team that got to the semi-finals of the World Cup, Matt, which has only happened 3 times in my lifetime. And I'm considerably older than Yao.
Very good, Brummy.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, very good.
What are you saying?
Matt's actually making a good point that the standard of football is not as good now as it was 5-10 years ago.
I'm
saying that these players were playing in the Championship but were absolutely not considered for the England setup. They play a few games in the Premier League, and I get that it's a different level, but you kind of think, this Mason Mount we're seeing, is he that different to the Mason Mount that we saw at Derby last season? Is it that different to the Tyrone Mings we saw at Villa last season? Tomori at Derby last season?
You're saying that he should have been considered from the Championship?
Yeah, I'm saying that's the greater issue.
Steve Ball
with the
played
England
for
setup.
England when he was in the third division, of course, playing for Wolves. Yeah. So,
But the other issue, of course, is that they haven't been able to get an opportunity in most of these Premier League clubs because the Premier League clubs are awash with foreign players.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So you have a much smaller pot to choose from if you're the England manager these days. The interesting thing is, I remember 3 or 4 years ago before Southgate turned up, Roy Hodgson, Roy mentioning that it was already difficult because there weren't any English players in the Premier League. Yeah, there weren't any decent English players in the Premier League, but there was a whole wealth of talent who were youngsters who can't get into the Premier League because they spend 40, 50 million on average European players or South American players or whatever.
Mm. Yeah, but this just
Southgate's cut through that.
Yeah, but that goes back to what I was saying before, was the fact that more young players are playing, more British, English rather, young players are playing in the Premier League than for some considerable time.
But also the clubs have seen the light, haven't they, as well, because of the fact that the youth are winning these competitions and therefore they need to have access to the division. Otherwise they're going to go off and ply their trade elsewhere or not get in, of course.
Yeah. Are they playing at the Eden Hazard Stadium? The Eden Stadium tonight? In Prague. That's where they had the Super Cup, wasn't it? A couple of years ago. We've played in there.
Have we?
It's the Eden Stadium. I'm sure it's the... Matt's going to Google it quickly.
I think that our producer, Paddy, is going to find that out for us. But of course, the big thing about Tammy Abraham as well, just to finish this, is that I think there is the belief now with Tammy. The fact that he started this season so well with Chelsea, there's a belief now that perhaps we didn't see from him when he was at Swansea in that loan spell. There really is.
That would have been tough.
Exactly, I really think that's making a massive difference for Tammy Abraham. The teams are out on the pitch in Prague, England playing Czech Republic tonight, of course. This is the Chelsea Fan Show. We've got about 15 minutes left.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
This is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. That is Kiddo, if you can hear him there. This is me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast, Stanford Chidge, Clayton Bierman and Jonathan Kidd. England have kicked off in Prague. They are playing Czech Republic tonight, of course. If they win, they qualify for Euro 2020. Bring on 54 years of hurt. The song is ready to be released. Right,
old I am.
Is it really, Chidge?
I am. I am 54 years of hurt. Basically.
Well, we're going to finish tonight's show talking specifically about Chelsea. And Chidge, you sent some interesting notes on formations.
I did, didn't I?
And this is intriguing to me because when I looked at
them... I wrote that when I was drunk, Matt. That's my excuse.
Did you really?
Yes.
Well, you've suggested what future formations could potentially be. And I'm just going to quickly read them out. You've gone 3-4-3, 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1. I'll let you continue because there's a bit of difference in this.
Well, I tell you what. I know when I wrote this. I wrote this after the Lille game when Frank had changed... he'd set up, I think, with the 3-4-3... And he did change to a 4-3-3, and he did it very, very effectively. And it kind of got me wondering, number one, we've got lots of different formations here. But actually, the bigger issue is we've got some players to come back. how on earth is Frank going to accommodate, for example, how do we fit Loftus-Cheek in when he's fit? Does Pulisic get in? Do we have Emerson or Alonso? And whither Barkley, Zuma, Christensen, and perhaps even Aspie? And I think a lot of it does depend on the formation. But I think, you know, we've got a really interesting problem that Frank's going to have to solve going forward when, you know, we now got Hudson-Odoi, he's back fit. When Loftus-Cheek's fit, how do you Indeed. Choose between Mount, Jorginho, Kante, Barkley and Loftus-Cheek?
I think some go by the wayside at the moment.
Well, I think
Barkley
they do.
Goes. But also, if he happens to buy somebody, if he actually thinks there isn't the transfer
like
ban...
Like Neymar?
There is
a penalty in Prague, just to very quickly interject. Raheem Sterling has been brought down in the area. Yeah. Yes, it is a penalty for England inside the opening 5 minutes.
Harry Kane's missed a few recently, hasn't he?
Is it going to VAR or is it all...
It has been awarded a very early penalty. Raheem Sterling brought down in the area. Harry Kane stepping up now. We know that he is pretty decent from the spot. We're going to stick with this because he's at the spot now, ready to take his penalty against Thomas Vaklik, of course, of Czech Republic.
A very attractive.
How delightful.
The referee giving Thomas Vaklik some instructions, of course, as they seem to do now. Stay on your line, don't move.
Said,
it's quite insulting,
line,
that, to be honest.
Card you, he said. He did
VAR will,
face.
Of course, be watching that. Harry Kane stepping up to the spot now in front of those England fans, all with their smartphones up, ready to capture what is happening.
What kind of fans
Harry
are
Kane stepping
Put
up now.
Down.
Bottom left-hand corner.
And he's buried straight down the middle. Harry Kane scores for England. That is England 1, Czech Republic 0.
Lovely. 5 minutes gone.
Jonathan Kidd, sorry, we interrupted you making your note. And he's completely forgotten his note. You were talking about formations.
You came in here at 7 o'clock. Do you remember that?
And you
no,
are.
No, I'm nobody.
Bless him.
I'm Kerry Dixon.
That wasn't the point I was making, that it's even less likely that he would. No, if he does buy anybody because they've got a problem, for example, with, say, centre half, if Rudiger's injured or whatever, or Rudiger isn't as fit to come back. And Zuma, he seems to be playing Zuma all the time now. He seems to be very keen on Zuma playing. And Christensen seems to be taking a step backwards. Now, it's established that Tomori is there, but he then might say, all right, I want a centre-half who he'll have to evaluate whether he's going to get on with everybody, whether he's mature enough. But they've got so much money, they could buy somebody completely out of this world
to play there.
That's
another
question.
Can I ask that question in a minute? And the question, just to warn you, is... We have got pots of money to spend, potentially.
Indeed.
I would like to see us add two or three world-class players, but they have to be in the right position, and they cannot threaten the youth that's coming in.
And mature.
But can we answer that in a minute?
Yeah.
Because I think that's an interesting point you make, because I think Tomori and Rudiger are, without doubt, our best central defenders. But I get what Frank's doing, and actually he did this brilliantly against Lille. He knew that he needed a physical presence on there,
yeah.
And that suited Zuma. Yeah. And my suspicion... is that rather than what we've seen recently, and therefore what we perhaps naturally gravitate to, is what's our best 11? And then, you know, Sarri, Conte, whoever, pick their best 14 players. I think Frank will actually be flexible and he will adapt. He will play horses for courses and so in terms of players that he picks and also in formations. And I see us with a really good situation where we've got actually a really good kind of 15, 16 players that can cover all bases.
Can but I not like the sorry, not like the 15 and 16 that sorry
no,
used
no,
last
no,
year.
No,
so
no,
specifically,
not that way.
You're talking about this. How's everybody going to be? You know, how's everybody going to fit in? And
I'm most curious
no, no, no.
to see how Loftus-Cheek's going to fit
no,
in. Really,
but the point I want to make is back in the day when we had two world class players for every position because we did. How's it different then? Because you had world class players who were sitting on the bench. So I don't think it's, you know, this is where Frank's going to earn his corn.
Absolutely.
To keep everybody happy. I think that at the moment, we've got a great blend and we've sort of been helped slightly by injuries insofar as people are getting game time. And he has shown he's flexible. And you quite rightly said against Lille, two formations in a game, fantastic, sorted out the situation, brought on different players, and at the beginning of the season his substitutions weren't great. I think they're getting better. He's going to be maturing into the role, as well as the players are. So I'm not that concerned. And when Loftus-Cheek comes back, then either, I don't know, Kovacic, Barkley, I'm not going to get game time.
I actually think the Loftus-Cheek situation is much more delicate than we think it is.
Well, go on.
What, are you talking about his fitness?
Yeah, I reckon he won't play this year. I don't think you'll get in, because he has to achieve an enormous level of fitness and an enormous level of a competitive spirit that I don't think that this injury is going to allow him.
It's 1-1 in Prague.
Oh, what?
Jordan
what
Pickford
there?
Had just made a very, very good save from Kufa, and it should have been a foul. Danny Rose was fouled in the area. You wonder if VAR is in operation, that should have been called back, because it was quite a clear foul on Danny Rose. It then fell to Kufa. He had a great strike from outside the area. Jordan Pickford tipped it over the bar, but they've just scored from the resulting corner. It's
just
Czech
like
Republic
watching
1,
Chelsea, Matt.
England 1. Bit of a mix-up in the area, and he's snuck in at the far post. Danny Rose on the far post, to be fair. You wonder, River player is on the far post. Should he do his job on that occasion? It looked like Danny Rose didn't quite do it, but it is 1-1. I just want to quickly mention on these formations, Chiz, because something that struck me with regards to what you've written, and I go to the last one, first off, 4-2-3-1. When I look at that formation, Kepa, Azpilicueta, Rudiger, Tomori, Emerson, Jorginho, Kante in front of those four, Mount, Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi and Abraham. That excites me.
That really excites me.
But I think it's quite telling, and I'm sure that you've done this on purpose, but you mentioned Kovacic there, kiddo. He's not even in anything.
No.
Neither is Pedro.
No.
No mention whatsoever.
No. And nor is Pulisic. I mean, they're in...
Why is Barkley there?
He's not.
No, indeed. Well, that's
he hasn't made any one of those 11s that I've selected.
Yeah.
Nor is Kovacic. I was thinking originally when I wrote this that Jorginho doesn't get in, but clearly Jorginho is going to get in because, of course, he's now been made the vice-captain. So, and actually, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I think Jorginho has been brilliant this year. Mm-hmm. He's had that year. He had a terrible year last year, and, you know, he got all the grief. I think he basically was...
He got better towards the end of the season.
Yeah, he was scapegoated for Sarri. He's clearly a very good player. He was clearly under orders to play a certain way. I think he's been liberated from that this year. Frank's recognised that he's a very, very good player. He brings something different to the team. He's got leadership potential, and he's shown that. And I am so happy for him, but it's really interesting that it's been recognised by Frank Clayton.
Yeah, I mean, it gets overlooked, but on Sunday, if it wasn't for Kovacic, it would have been 3-2 at half-time.
Yeah.
Jorginho.
The goal line clearance.
Can I just go... Sorry, are we...
We're running out of time. Right. Yeah, we're probably going to have to move on because, Chiji, I know that we've got about a minute left and there is a very big announcement that you want to make.
I will be doing it every week from now on, trust me, because it's such a big thing. But there is a... We're basically, the Chelsea Sports Trust has organised what we call the big sleep out at Stamford Bridge, which is happening on November the 16th, where a number of us, about 70 at the moment, we're hopefully aiming for 200 people, will be sleeping out overnight in the rough at Stamford Bridge, and we're all asking for sponsorship. I'm doing it. I am 54. I don't like sleeping rough. This is a challenge for me, and I'm asking for sponsorship. And if you want to sponsor me, you can go to uk.virginmoneygiving.com/David Chiji, and I will be very grateful.
Here, here. Get right on to
it's
that
for the
website.
Two homeless charities is where the money's going, by the way. It's not going to my bank account.
Of course not. No. Wonderful stuff, Dave. Stamford Chij. Jonathan Kidd, thank you.
Kiddo.
Clayton Beerman, thank you.
Thank you.
Stamford Chij.
Cheers,
thank
man.
Thank you. This has been the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.